Our next piece is Os Kuf Nun Aleph, and this is yet another example of Rav Tzadok returning to a theme which is undoubtedly one of the more common themes in all of his writing and thinking, and that is the idea of resilience, of reaction to sin, of the ability to respond in a positive manner, even when we have, so to speak, been knocked down. And he begins the piece as follows. Itod ha-yirida sheyesh la'adam, she'en lo shum cheshak l'torah v'avoda, zeh ha-chana la'aliyah gedola. Right? It really starts off with a remarkable statement that those moments when we are down, where a person has no desire for Torah study, for mitzvah observance, for spiritual growth, aspiration, those very moments are actual stages of preparation, preparatory stages, for great growth in upward spiritual mobility. How so? How could it be? It's one thing to say that a person can get up even though he fell down. It's another thing to encourage a person to be resilient. But how can you say that those moments of downfall, those moments of, as he says, distance and being low down in the spiritual dumps, how can they themselves be the seeds of growth for spiritual closeness to Hashem and accomplishment? Says Rav Tzadok, at least in this piece, he has the following approach. V'hainu, aide hatz'aka, shetzo'ek, kishemismoneim al derachav, v'ro'eh shiflotav v'yiridato. Says Rav Tzadok, the key here of how to transform the bad into the good, the low into the high, is by one's crying, by one's pain, by the krechts, by the sigh, by the pain that a person feels as a result of his or her failure. Rather than being in denial, rather than just giving everyone a participation trophy, so to speak, rather than saying, oh, that's good, it's okay, says Rav Tzadok, no, when you fall, when you fail, you have to cry out, you have to be in pain. You should be disappointed in yourself. You should perhaps even be upset at yourself. It should hurt you that you let yourself down. It should anguish you that, so to speak, you let Hashem down. And if you truly felt that pain, if you truly felt that disappointment, you'd be filled with pain. You'd be filled with disappointment, and you would perhaps even quite literally cry out. Says Rav Tzadok, that cry is not unhealthy. That cry is not damaging. On the contrary, that cry is the key to spiritual growth. That is itself what's going to allow you to not only rebound, but to use the downfall as the seeds of growth, as the catalyst for future accomplishment. In the end, Ein davar omed ela b'fnei haratzon. There's nothing that can stand, virtually nothing that can stand in front of somebody who has the desire. We're not talking about whether a person who's, 5'8" can dunk a basketball, whether a small person can lift 1,000 pounds, or certain things which are objectively requiring certain physical characteristics which either you have or you don't have. But like many things in life, lahavdil, spiritual accomplishment, and certainly the ability to be close to Hashem, to be doing the right thing, by far the most important ingredient is a person's desire, his motivation, his will. And sometimes, Rav Tzadok points out so astutely, the greatest catalyst for growth can be failure. Because failure can remind us not to take success for granted. The distance, the pain, the disappointment can themselves be profoundly motivating. And they expressed through that cry, the tzaka that Rav Tzadok refers to, can be truly a recommitment and a reinvigoration of one's desire, one's clear commitment to do good. And in that sense, having, you could keep on going, so to speak, at, 40 miles an hour, never hit a bump on the road, but you'd also never be motivated to floor it. On the other hand, if you hit a pothole, if something goes wrong and you truly feel bad about it, all of a sudden now you could be going 90, you could be going 100. That's the spiritual phenomenon that Rav Tzadok is describing. And he says, in that sense, the very moments of yirida, of failure, of going down, can be themselves the preparation for incredible accomplishment. Even better than you were before, if the failure and the disappointment yields crying out, inspires greater motivation to be successful in the future. Says Rav Tzadok, as he continues, there are numerous examples of this. So for one, he says, we know that when the people left Har Sinai, it says, V'yisumi refidim, as they were leaving the desert, they're leaving Egypt and they're in the desert, V'yisumi refidim, Vayavo Midbar Sinai. They get to Midbar Sinai, and Chazal Darshan quotes the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, that Rephidim is not only meant to be a place, but it is a play on words that refers to the fact that Jewish people were rafu yadehem min haTorah, so to speak, that they lessened their grip. They weren't as committed to Torah as they should have been, as they had been previously. On the one hand, that's a very terrible thing, and Chazal make that point as an indictment, as a criticism of the Jewish people. However, says Rav Tzadok, Zahya hachana lamatan Torah shu'tachlas achizuk hayadayim b'divrei Torah. However, not that long afterwards, the Jewish people stood at the base of Har Sinai and received the formal Torah, the full Torah. In other words, says Rav Tzadok, without saying so in so many words, how did the Jewish people go from a stage of rafu yadehim min haTorah to all of a sudden receiving the Torah, so to speak, with their hands, the greatest level of the highest of accomplishments? And even though he doesn't say it, clearly what he's getting at is it must have been that, yes, it's true that they were attacked by Amalek because as a punishment of Rafu Yadehem, as Chazal tell us in that Gemara, but they realized their mistake. They realized that it was their fault, their responsibility that Amalek had attacked, that it was a result of their sin, that they had weakened their commitment to Torah. And therefore they felt bad about it. They redoubled their efforts and their commitment, and they ended up achieving a level that they would never have and had not previously had, and were able to therefore be worthy of receiving the Torah at Har Sinai. Furthermore, he says another example. V'ne'amar, it says, V'hanasim heviu es avnei hashoam. The princes of the various tribes, the Nasim, when it came time to dedicate the raw materials to build the Mishkan and the Klei HaMikdash, Mishkan, I should say, it says that the Nasim, the priests, brought the special stones that were used as part of the Kohen Gadol's special vestments. Very precious stones. And the Medrash Darshans and Bamidbar Rabbah, that the word Nesiim, as it's written here in the Pasuk, is actually written without the Yud. Nun, Shin, Aleph, Mem. It's written without the Yud. Why is it written Chaser, without the Yud? Lefishin es aslu v'ichru me lahavi. It's an allusion to the fact that the Nesiim did something wrong. They were the kind of donor that said, you do all your work, you do all the solicitation, and whatever you're short, I'll cover. And while that sounds like a very generous offer, it displays a lack of initiative. And in fact, that was the case with the Nesiim. Chazal are critical of the Nesiim, that there was a certain laziness. They let everyone else give before them, and they said to themselves, we'll take care of whatever's left. And then the people did everything. So they were actually criticized for it, and that's alluded to by the fact that their name is not written completely. All of that is true, says Rav Tzadok. And yet, there's another statement of Chazal in the Gemara Yuma, Daf Ayin Hei, that says Nesiim, for prince, is also a double entendre, because based on a pasuk in Mishlei, Nesiim can also refer to ananim, clouds, Nesiim mamish, as the Gemara calls it, actual clouds. In what way were the princes like clouds? What's the connection? So the Gemara there says, Pirshu sh'ayde ha'atzlut b'tzakul Hashem. Well, this Rav Tzadok adds, I should say. But they realize their mistake. Oh my gosh, here we are, leaders of the people, the Nesiim, and all the average people, the commoners, have all brought and generously donated to the Mishkan. There's nothing left for us to give. They felt terrible. They were embarrassed. They really regretted their actions. They cried out to Hashem. And as a result, says Rav Tzadok, now he ties into the Gemara, Zaku l'kach she'hanesiim mamish heim ha'ananim heviu lehem avnei hashoam. This is the basis of the tradition quoted there in that Gemara, that where did they get these special precious stones in the middle of the desert? So the Gemara says that somehow it was a miracle. Clouds, so to speak, formed over the Nesiim, and as it were, rained, not water, but in fact precious stones, which the Nesiim then gathered and donated to the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously a spectacular miracle, the idea of clouds depositing precious stones to the Nesiim. But how did you get from, on the one hand, their laziness, which is criticized, and then all of a sudden being the beneficiaries of this tremendous miracle? Says Rav Tzadok, ironically, if they had just done the right thing and given whatever donation they would have given ahead of time, it wouldn't have been particularly special, it wouldn't have been particularly precious. And yet, again, we wouldn't recommend making a mistake, milachachila, but given that they made a mistake, and here's the key point Rav Tzadok is repeated over and over again, they didn't just say, oh, it's okay, we'll do better next time, or what's the big deal? Rather, they truly regretted it. They felt terrible, and they cried out to Hashem, and they used their initial failure and mistake as a catalyst for redoubling, tripling, quadrupling their efforts in spiritual aspiration. They ended up being zocha to something that they never would have been zocha to. They ended up reaching a far higher level because they fell, and how they reacted to that fall, than if they had never fallen to begin with. And therefore, the very same Nesiim who are criticized for their initial laxity end up bringing maybe the most special and precious gift of all. He adds that one final point, that there's an added layer, no pun intended, but an added layer of meaning to this idea from the fact that of all things, what is the double entendre? What is the miraculous vehicle of deliverance of these precious stones? Nisi'im, clouds. In what sense? Why is that an added point? Because clouds are that which are choshech al-pnei olam, right? Clouds can cover the sun. Clouds bring darkness to the world. However, it's also true, umimena ha'ora yotze l'kol bayi olam. Here, working off of a Gemara in Masechta Tainis, which is itself interpreting a pasuk in Perek Lamed Zayin of Iov, that or can also refer to rain. And therefore, the idea that the clouds are, so to speak, blocking the light, that's true. But those very clouds which bring choshech to the world also bring or to the world, not in the sense of light. But the clouds, of course, you know, eventually are filled with condensation and precipitation, and they bring rain. And therefore, the very clouds which are the source of darkness are also the source of sustenance and of water. V'chein shamati, he says, from his Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, ala pasuk, the pasuk which, of course, we're familiar with, we say it in davening, ha-mechase shamayim ba'avim, how the clouds are filled with and covered, you know, are covered by the clouds, and yet, through that, ha-yideze, ha-mechin l'aretz matar, that itself, the cloud condensation and the covering of the sky, which can block out the sun, but those very clouds are mechin l'aretz matar. They are the thing which are preparing and going to enable the earth to be saturated with rain and become a source of life and growth of sustenance. So too with these nesiim, their very laziness was choshech, was difficult, was dark, was a disappointment, was a failure, but because they responded to it in the right way, the very thing which had brought the darkness ended up being the vehicle for even greater light, greater source of bracha to the world. And therefore, with the various examples that he gave, whether it was the Jewish people after they left Mitzrayim before Matan Torah, or the Nesiim and the contributions to the Mishkan, two examples that he elaborates on, Rav Tzadok makes reinforcing the point he made at the outset. And that is the remarkable insight here, that those moments of downturn, of failure, of distance that we all feel, it's not just that we can overcome them, that we have to be resilient enough to get back on the horse and not stay down. That's obvious, not easy to do, but obvious that it's the correct thing to do. But it's much more than that, said Rav Tzadok. Those very moments are the hachana la'aliyah gadola. If we approach the failure the right way, failure can be the greatest catalyst of growth. And what is the right way? By being tzoik tz'aka gedola, by truly crying out, by truly regretting and lamenting the failure, that can convert the failure into seeds of tremendous growth and future accomplishment.